Here in New York, it is finally beginning to feel a bit like spring. There are a few crocuses in Central Park. We've had some 50-degree days. But just a few weeks ago, almost 300 of you sent in photos telling a very different story. We asked for your best winter photos, and boy, did you deliver. We saw tree branches coated in ice. We had animal tracks in snow, and you did prove this was one heck of a winter that we're going through. So we want to thank everybody who participated in our winter nature photo contest. And you out there, you are our judges. You have spoken, and you have picked a winner. Now for the moment we've all been waiting for. Yes, Kai Sander of Newtown, Connecticut wins this year's contest for his shot, Connecticut Cornfield in Winter. We're going to talk to Kai in just a moment, but first I want to bring on our photo contest judge. John Weller is a professional nature photographer. He's author of a new book of photographs of Antarctica, The Last Ocean. He's going to analyze Kai's photo and tell us why it's a winner. John Weller, welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks very much, Ira. Great to be here, and happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day. In fact, we gave you 10 photos out of all the hundreds of photos sent in, we picked out what we thought were the 10 best, and you chose a Connecticut cornfield winter as your top, as one of your top 10 shots, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a beautiful image. And I guess, you know, the real question here is a cloudless blue sky in Connecticut in winter. How did he pull that off? Mm. But it's a really interesting image. And it makes the commonplace extraordinary. And it's intimate. It's immersive. It puts me right in the middle of that cornfield.
Right.
And should we describe it maybe?
Yeah, let me just clarify that. We gave you all the photos to look at. And you picked out a bunch of photos out of them. You picked out the final 10 that you thought were the finalists for it. And that was that photo. And actually, when I looked at the photo also, the last 10, I picked out the same photo. I thought it was the most emotion-evoking photo of all the last 10 there.
I think you may be right, definitely.
You know? It said to me what winter was, you know, in a feeling.
That's right. And I think that one of the things that makes it really powerful for me is that, like we said, it's in the middle of this cornfield. You're down in the stalks of corn. And a subject matter like that can really become overwhelming and messy in a lot of photographs. But the Kai in this photograph has really simplified the scene for us, revealing the scene through a detail, which is this cob of corn that's peeking out from behind its husk. And he's used a beautiful low f-stop to blur the background just enough to hold that cob of corn aloft from the background as well. So though it's in the midst of this cornfield, it really feels like you're looking directly at this corn. It's a piece of corn. It's a singular subject matter in the picture.
But it's also it's also composed excellently.
Absolutely. It really has a nice balance to it. And for me, it speaks to the passage of time. It seems to reveal this entire yearly cycle in this single photograph. You're looking at last year's harvest. It implies the next year's harvest, and yet the snow, the ground is covered in snow. It's really a beautiful image.
It is, and it shows how cruel winter can be, stripping off the leaves, and then, you know, it's a bleak photo, but a pretty photo at the same time. Actually got Kai Sander, the winning photographer, on the line. Kai, welcome to Science Friday. Congratulations.
Ira, thank you. I love you. I love the show.
Thank you. Tell us how you got this shot. How did you take the shot? How did you come across it? What made you stop and take that picture?
I took it actually just about over a month ago, and my wife and I were about 3 days overdue for our first child, and we were getting kind of stir crazy. We decided we'd take a little walk out here. There's a lot of farmland around Newtown, and I took actually several shots that day, and when I got home, I realized a lot of them were just sort of a sea of yellow corn and blue sky and white snow, and that was nice and all, but this one shot with that little bit of red, and I can't even explain why the corn is that color at the base, with those couple of kernels removed, and that lovely red color just really kind of popped out, and I was just really happy with it. So when I heard about your contest, that's the first image that came to mind.
Yeah, because you're right. That corn stalk, that single stalk by itself, has some kernels missing, and it's a really, you know, a nice red color, ruby red color.
It is
sticking right out of there. Now we called a corn specialist up to ask him why it was red, and he said it could be the kind of corn it was, or it could be sort of the reaction the corn had to being stressed by the winter. So doesn't matter. It's just a gorgeous picture.
Terrific.
How many did you have to take to get that one?
I took just that one. I did some exposure bracketing where sort of underexposes one image and overexposes another, and it takes them really quick in sequence. And that's how I get those colors to pop. A lot of times in winter photography, at least my own, it's tough, especially on a very brightly lit day like it was, to have the exposure get just right. And I think I just got, to be honest, pretty lucky with this shot.
You're like the Ansel Adams of the cornfield. He used to take one shot also, and that was a gorgeous photo. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Kai Sander, winner of our photo contest. Was this a toss-up which winter shot to submit, or did you have a couple that you might have submitted, or you when you took this, you knew this was the one that you wanted?
When I saw it and when I heard, I think I basically took it that day, because we only had a couple days left before our baby was born, and so when I listened to the show one day, I heard about the contest, and I thought of this shot immediately, because I was just so happy with how it came out.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you. Great shot.
Thank you so much, and thank you to John as well.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good work, Kai. Keep shooting.
John, let's talk about another favorite, the owl strike. This was a really interesting photo on our website. What's that look like? What appealed to you about that picture?
Well, this is just an amazing shot, really. It's very simple. You're looking almost straight down at the snow, and there's an imprint of an owl that has hit a vole or a mouse in the snow. It's well registered. You can see the wing feathers on the right side. I don't have a really high-def version of this picture, but it seems to me you can actually see the imprint of the face in the owl print there. And what really is neat to me about this picture is that it reveals this entire dance between these two creatures, the owl and its prey. And I can picture the entire scene, and I imagine the sensory acuity of that owl to hear and locate that mouse under the snow, and imagine the intensity of its focus as it scanned the snowy field. And it's all right there in this single, really ghostly image.
It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. You're right. It tells a story right there, the whole story.
That's right.
Frolicking Foxes was another audience favorite, and you picked that shot as well. What put it over the top for you?
Well, you know what's neat about this is that a lot of wildlife photographs, and especially pictures of foxes and bobcats and anything that's really can really hear you, they're usually aware of the photographer. And in this photograph, it really looks like the foxes were just playing with them with each other and had no knowledge of the photographer standing behind them with a big lens. So that in and of itself is a huge win, to be invisible in the scene and really be able to observe unfettered natural behavior. So that's really neat. And also, it really reveals something essential about the playful nature of foxes for me. So it's really an intimate portrait.
If people want to see all of the pictures, they're up on our website at sciencefriday.com. And you know a thing or two about shooting snowy, wintry scenes. You just came out with a photo book from Antarctica's Ross Sea.
That's right.
A place I had been to many years ago, and I understand the passion there. What drew you to that place as a photographer?
Well, it actually started with a friend of mine from high school who delivered an obscure scientific paper to me. It just found its way to my desk through this friend of mine. And what this paper lays out the story of the Ross Sea as being the last large intact marine ecosystem on Earth. And aside from the fact that I'd seen photographs of Antarctica and always, from the time I was a little boy, really wanted to see penguins, this fact, this idea that this was the last intact place took me completely by storm. And I knew I needed to go and see this place and try to tell its story and try to contribute to the move to protect this place.
Yeah, there are great photos in the book. It's a life-changing thing to go to Antarctica, and certainly you'll get capture some of it. I'm sure it changed your life, John. And it's the last ocean. It's about the Ross Sea, and lots of pictures of ice and snow and penguins and stuff you've never seen before. Thank you, John, for being our judge.
Thank you very much. It was a great honor.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about next year. Have a great rest of the winter, and happy Pi Day to you too.
Oh, thanks very much.
You're welcome.